I'm coming in 15 seconds.
Pause.
Coming in 15 seconds. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
I'm regulating my intro speeds, and this
Thank
is episode...
you.
Yeah,
139. So about where the people can hear.
Yeah, this is episode 139. It's funny. You know how sometimes on elevators...
They skip
in elevators and tall buildings. They skip the 13th floor for superstitious reasons.
Yeah, because everybody's like, "Oh my god, 13th floor is gonna die."
Yeah. If you're a true Audio Face listener, or if you're just like listening to Audio Face for the first time, skip 138. No need to listen to it at all. So 137, 139. We haven't done any episodes since 137.
Please.
So this is gonna be really fun. We've got some singles for you. We've got three album type releases. We have Angel Miners and the Lightning Riders by AWOL Nation. Done by, it's a drop by MXM Tune. And the rest is like the Sean corner of this podcast.
Yeah, right.
MXM Tune, and then Trustfall Side B, a second part to an EP released years ago by Incubus, a band that I can never tell is retired or not.
But they're super not retired. They're still making music.
Little bit of news here and there, kind of a short week as per usual.
Yeah, now it's like, because we're dead center in this COVID-19 funness, that now it's like we got to scratch the walls for news and shit.
I didn't go to Music Business Worldwide.
Nah, we're good. So. We're good. We paid our dues on that. I don't want to go back there.
No,
that's a dangerous place.
I am curious because I want to find out the more recent streaming numbers, because it seems like a lot of other things in media are doing well. They just have trouble selling ads because no one wants to sell like advertisements next to COVID-19, especially if you're a disinfectant brand.
We'll talk about that later. But let's hop on these singles.
Yes. I Don't Know by Jamie XX of The XX.
Yes, correct.
When you, this album, the single came out last week, and when we were talking about it before the podcast started, you said that the beginning basically sounds like one of my favorite Beck songs, Clap Hands.
It did, like, so the first minute of I Don't Know sound, the beat and everything sounds exactly like Clap Hands. And I remember listening to him like, wait, am I tripping balls? And then I put the songs next to each other. I'm like, oh yeah, the opening of it is like, it's very, very similar to Clap Hands. But then...
Sped up.
A little bit sped up. And then, but then the song morphs into just a trippy techno style song. After it ends up being from Clap Hands to just like insert random DJ here that you like from Europe, and there you go, and that's what it is, and it's fun. It's a good little bop.
It's a little minimal, but like,
yes,
like near the end, where it kind of like deconstructs, which is a cool effect.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It definitely made me want to move and beat and stuff, and it's different for. I mean, he's done a few things like that. Do you know if he's an album coming out at all?
I think he's working on stuff. Like, he might be doing collaborations. I know he's overdue for it.
Yeah, I know, because he's done a lot of collabs and stuff recently, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything on it. So
that's usually a sign.
It's usually a sign, allegedly. Yeah, so go check it out, especially if you like electronic music. It's good for that style, so I like it.
Yeah. Then we have Jonesy's Exhale.
Jonesy. That's definitely, he's definitely not Canadian. One of my favorite musical artists. Yeah, Jonesy, the lead singer of Sigros. This is his first solo work in almost a decade.
Really?
Because he released Go. Oh, no, it has been a decade, I'm pretty sure. Because Go was released in 2010, I'm pretty sure. And he's done like soundtrack work for How to Train Your Dragon and other little pieces of stuff too. But he released it on his birthday. Actually, one little fun fact, he had COVID.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he was recovering from it. He said that...
Freedom fighter.
Super freedom fighter, Jonesy. He lives in LA, so... he said that he lost his sense of smell and stuff, and he was trying to get it back. And he does a lot of incense stuff and whatnot, and likes making things. So that was one thing I go, holy shit, okay, that's kind of wild.
Inhale the incense, exhale the music.
Exactly. And Exhale, he released on his birthday, and it's good. It's more into that theme of him, his evolution of his sound into more of a darker theme and stuff. Because if you go listen to Go, his first solo work, it's really high tempo, it's peppy and everything, and Exhale is the first like 2 minutes of it or so is really slow and builds up, and you have his voice in the background, it's kind of morphed, and then halfway through then it starts to get up a little bit. And I like it because it says it isn't your fault, it isn't your fault. Just breathe in, exhale.
Yeah, the song cool really builds up in that way.
It builds up a lot, but it's more of that, like how Sugar Rose themselves, too, as a band, they've gone into that more dark, like compressed synthesizers and stuff, and it's a unique sound to them. So I'm glad that they still, like, Yonzi's still evolving his sound. I can't say that word. Evolving whatever.
No, it's not evolution.
I'm like, whatever. I'm just gonna roll with it now. Strategic. At this point. Exactly.
Always be evolution. Audio Face Real Ones. I want that on a shirt.
Oh, there we go. Yes, I want two shoes. I want two shoes right here, and it's just strategery. I want that on a shirt.
Always be evolution.
Yeah. So, anyways, with this, he says that he's going to release a solo album again, hopefully soon. So it's good. I love it. Listen to it. It's different. So I want it on a shirt.
That's gonna be great. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, you enjoy this podcast, and you've been listening for a while, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It helps people discover the podcast in addition to telling people about the show. I didn't say podcast that time. Also, last week on youtube.audioface.show, I had 2 videos uploaded every day because mm-hmm. I'm like backlogged from things. And I'm also figuring out what's the best way to upload these videos because I have more capacity to do so. Mm-hmm. So check those out. A lot of people got a lot of traction on the Strokes review that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people commenting on that. So join the fun, join the party. You can see our faces.
Just clip that. You can see our faces, me going.
And I'm just like, and yeah, we are going to go next week, by the way. We have Car Seat Headrest, the Cali Uches.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize Car Seat Headrest released another one. Granted, I'm not surprised because they release music every, like, year and a half, 2 years.
So. Yeah. It's indie has a much faster pace.
Yes.
Yeah, Cali Uches is how I learned to pronounce that recently. And the Psychedelic Furs are all releasing music.
Psychedelic Furs are releasing
Yeah,
music.
We were just talking about
Whoa, that. I know. Shit. I didn't... Yeah. All right, let's
Apparently. Get... So Apparently. That's happening next week. And, in May, we have a lot of interesting things planned for May. It's the third anniversary. Third or fourth? Jesus Christ. Third. Yeah, of Audio Face.
Of Audio Face, yeah.
And we'll probably be celebrating that week with a new 1975 album. So, we'll all be looking forward
German,
to that.
Drückt die Daumen.
Knock on some wood somewhere. Anyways, much coming planned. I also have... maybe a Run the Jewels bonus episode because they're going to be releasing something soon. Mm-hmm. I'm getting that under the works. So make sure you're subscribed to Audio Face. Oh, and how could I forget? This week we'll be dropping another political report.
This is my favorite political report we've had so far.
Yeah, yeah. It was very tight. Very not good. A lot of filler. Very dense. Covered a lot of topics. Kept it real.
Lots of bleach.
Yeah. Shout out to We Made It Podcast. Yes, the real ones. For joining us for that in quarantine mode. But all right. Let's get into news, one story, and then right into music. So, Live Nation, which is the parent company of Ticketmaster, kind of announced their overarching ticket relief plan for postponed and canceled shows. Mm-hmm. We talked about this last week, and it was like a bit of an interesting thing because Ticketmaster did one thing, then they got heat, and they did another thing. So, the important thing is that like rescheduled and postponed events are like being treated differently. If it's rescheduled, you're not going to automatically get a refund, but you can as up to like within 30 days of the new show date being announced. So that way, if you did make plans to go like travel exactly. to the venue rather than it being in your hometown, then it's a little bit easier to work around that. Or at least that's one thing off your shoulders.
Yeah, that's sort of like how I said last week. If it gets rescheduled and you have 30 days, it gives you 30 days to figure out if you want to, if you have the funds and everything necessary to go to that venue and travel, or if it's in your hometown, they're like, okay, cool, then I'll just wait. Or if yes. you need the funds or whatever that is, then you can go ahead and cancel it. I like that 30-day period for yes. people. I think it's very fair.
The postponement thing is pretty interesting, but I overall like it, I think. So for events that are indefinitely postponed, basically you don't get a refund immediately, but the day that the indefinite postponement gets announced is basically a 60-day window starts. And then after that 60 yeah. after that 60-day window, if there is no new date announced, then you can get a refund.
Okay, that's fine.
Right, so after that 60 days passes, then a 30-day window opens.
So okay, so yeah, it's giving now people are getting a lot of options and stuff yes. for events and everything, because everything's canceled pretty much until the very earliest August or September, and even yeah. then that's a little optimistic. So yeah.
For a lot of folks, their cancellations were announced in March and April. So you might be wondering, okay, how does yeah. that work for me? The clock doesn't start till May 1st. So if something yep. has been indefinitely postponed, but that was announced about like March 1st, essentially, then you have a 30-day window for refunds. Otherwise, you just kind of like wait and see. Otherwise,
starting on the 1st of May.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, Live Nation has a couple of different like schemes and tricks here and there to wine and dine you. We'll give you this amount of credit if you don't cancel. We'll do this. We'll do that. You know. So
we'll rub your left nutsack and rub your nipple at the same time. It'll be a party.
That's for only if you get the ticket insurance.
Yeah.
That's only if you get the ticket insurance.
Ticket insurance is like, ooh, we'll give you a massage for free with the happy ending. Wink and smiley face.
It's only $150 for my $100 ticket. Seems legit. God. All right.
Such a scam. Anyways.
damn straight. AWOL Nation released an album called Angel Miners and the Lightning Riders.
It's 10 songs, 39 minutes long.
And somehow for being one of the shortest AWOL Nation albums to ever come out, it still felt too long.
So we reviewed Here Come the Rants in 2018, and we...
Seasoned Audio Face Podcast.
Seasoned Audio Face Podcast, right? And I'm like, I remember when we reviewed it, I said it was okay. Like, they have their sound and everything, but they were starting to evolve a little bit. They had some experiments and stuff, and I thought that it was okay for the album. But then on this one, Angel Miners and the Lightning Riders, I'm like, first off, since they released it in 2018, they need to take a break, like any, as we always say. Give it some time, relatively speaking. But on a band like this, who they have a very specific sound, you need to take time to really evolve it. And with this album, I think it came out too close to their latest release, and it's flat. It's very, very flat. It's uninspiring. There isn't much in it that gives me hope for them, I should say. Because the one thing is it's shorter, which is one thing. I'm like, okay, it's shorter, so it didn't feel that long. But at the same point, every song, it's just they do that same thing that they've been doing for the construction of their songs. The main difference is the lyrics. The lyrics are more heartfelt. They're more looking into the personal stuff, which has been going on.
Yeah.
A lot of artists have been doing, but that's one thing. I'm like, okay, you're evolving your lyrics. Now your lyrics need to match the construction of your music itself, and then we can do, and once you do those two, then you're going to make very good music. But now what's happening is you have very good substance in your lyrics, but you have really shitty substance in the construction of your music, so it comes out flat and bland, and you're not getting the point across that you're trying to make.
Yeah, it's like nicer. I mean, if the lyrics are the present, then the music is probably the packaging, and that's a really bad analogy.
Exactly.
And the packaging it comes with in the store, not even like a little box with a bow or anything. But to the point where you're saying, just to add context for the listeners about it feels a little like there's been a lyrical improvement. A lot of this album was written after the big fires that are happening in California, because I think a lot of the band members lived in Malibu, lucky them. And
must be nice.
And but actually must not be nice, because their houses were burned down. And they lost,
that's
like,
why you
most
don't live
everything.
On a goddamn hill, people.
It's
It's really, it's just, I like, mean, it's like how in the Valley,
I don't blame them for the fire.
Oh, but but it's just like, it's funny to me sometimes when I go, every time I go to the Valley to visit the Grosseltern, and I'm like, why are there houses on these hills? Like, this, don't they know this shit is engulfed in flames every 4 months? And they keep building homes here, so. But anyways, that actually makes sense in a way. But one song, I think, like, is an epiphany of their sound and their stagnation as Lightning Riders, the fourth song in. If you listen to that song, it gives you, that is the best and the worst of the band, because it gives you something that you can play in the background and it's fine, it's not going to offend anybody, but it's not going to have everybody sit down and be like, whoa, that's a good song, like, the we can't talk about it because we don't care, but the thing, like, there was certain songs and stuff with people, they'll, like, you listen to it in the background, like, whoa, what is that? I want to know who wrote this. I want to know what's going on in the background. And you hear this, and you're just like, this is very uninspiring. And Lightning Riders is a perfect epiphany of that, or perfect, I can't think of the word, but, like, encapsulates the entire album as a whole into why I'm saying that. Because the rest of the songs, I really don't need to review them, because it's all the same. They have the same build-up crescendo. They yell into the mic every 24 seconds.
Oh, yeah. There's one song near the end that was, like, really yell. I think it was Battered Black and Blue. Mm-hmm. It was just really yelly, and I really couldn't do it.
Because they've been doing that thing since 2011.
And I mean, that was the trick with Sale. And it was cool in that one song, the way it was executed then, but, like, you can't.
Exactly. It's a sound. It was a sound that is perfect to 2011, and they haven't evolved it enough, because then you have, like, Run in 2015, which Run is a kind of a cool song in a way, but then the album was still stagnant. So that's one thing that they reverted back too much to the sound of their previous albums compared to Here Come the Runts, where they started to evolve their musicality and stuff of it. So it's very, very disappointing to me. And it's Milk Toast Run centrist. Insert Mayor Pete here, and that's what you get out of this album.
AWOL Nation has been really good and consistent with one thing, and I would say that's album enders. That's
the
thing I'm on for this year. Okay. Knights of Shame was a very good, like, album ending song. It was like this three-part thing for Megalithic Symphony, Symphony, where Sale came on, where they kind of got put on the map. And I actually kind of like the last two songs on here, Half Italian and I'm
A Wreck. I like I'm a wreck.
Yeah, and
I'm a Wreck is good because it's slow.
Yeah. It's slow, and I think that's where AWOL Nation could possibly explore.
Yes.
I kind of like Arctic Monkeys kind of went from a faster-paced AM to a slower, more kind of reflective, tranquility-based, and to some degree.
Yes.
And maybe AWOL Nation could benefit from retooling their sound in a way to maybe they want to go in a more direction thematically with their music to match the
match
lyrics.
Match exactly, lyrics. Because that's what Arctic Monkeys did, was exactly that, because the lyrics are super very introspective and tranquility based, and that's how they changed their sound to reflect that. And that's one thing, that's a good point, I think, because I'm a Wreck, Half Italian, I don't really remember. I know I'm a Wreck is slow, and I like the, like, I like the sound of it because you can really hear the lyrics instead of supposed to some dude running up and down on the mic being all white boy with long blonde hair just going and there you go. So yeah, it's disappointing, it's okay, whatever. There's a lot of good music coming out this year, so it's going to get just pushed aside for all the good stuff that's been coming out this year. So our arbitrary scale this week is cleaning products, because, you know, if you know, you know. That's all I want to say, because this country is extremely stupid.
Because we elected the reality show games show host, Philanderer, who decides to suggest people inject bleach because he loves hearing the sound of his own voice and sound like the smartest person.
What happens if you inject orange juice in your veins?
That was the original No Chill Island.
This is the original one.
Okay. If you know, you know on that one, let's say. We'll leave that one tight. So the arbitrary scale this week is cleaning products. This is LA's totally awesome bleach, the kind you get at the 99-cent store.
Nice. This is Oh man, I don't know what this is. This is Clorox
toilet scrub.
Toilets. No, 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 not the toilet scrub, but like the ones that you put in your toilet that just like the little sticky ones that stay there to refresh in the toilet all the time.
The tablets?
The tablets, yeah. The Clorox tablets for your toilet because they're good, right? They work, I guess. I don't have a sense of smell, so I have no idea, but like you put that shit on and it just stays there. So that's what this album is. It stays on the toilet and just kind of, you know, moderates it.
the shit goes by it, but it doesn't stay there. Doesn't
exactly. You're not gonna get skid marks on your toilet from that.
The Library of Congress is going to launch they're actually doing this pretty interesting thing, which is kind of open for considering the Library of Congress. So they have a really vast access to music, of course, and it's being added more and more every year. And copyright kind of ends after a certain amount of time, so you just have this music. So Brian Fu, who is the Library of Congress's innovator in residence, he's launching a open source hip hop sampling pool called Citizen DJ. And basically it'll be a way for artists to get a library of music they can sample and look at and kind of use as building blocks
like
for their music.
That.
That's pretty tight.
Because that's one thing that I know with certain musical artists is they have to, some of them, if they want to sample something, they have to worry about copyright or they have to worry about the amount of shit they have to pay somebody to use the beat or whatnot. So that's one thing that can help smaller artists and stuff, especially electronic music, if they want to dub something or whatever on like Daft Punk, where you take somebody that something made in the 1960s and really make it your own sound, your own little thing. That's cool. I like that. And it also then gives credit to a lot of those artists who are relatively unknown.
Yeah.
Into their sound. Like you can go back into like, where do they get, like, example, Kanye will did this back in the day before he went absolutely mental and be like, wait, where did he get the sample from? You go, whoa, that's really cool. That's a sound that exists and stuff. And then you can get into their music from that. So there's a lot of things that can stem from this.
Yeah. I think it's pretty exciting.
I really like that.
There's a beta test of it.
Beta!
That you can do. So you can look that up online if you want to kind of participate and kind of help it get on its ground before it starts. And you can then make your own beats with it, which we said would be pretty rad. Next drop thing. This is Dawn by MXM Tune. Yeah. We'll figure out how to pronounce that.
I always want to know how to say her name. I'm like, Tune, MXM? MXM Tune?
This was one of your, if not music recommendations, you've mentioned this in like a singles segment or something like that. Because I believe with Fever Dream,
for sure. But this is, it's 7 songs, 20 minutes long. To me, this is, you know, the little thing in Spotify, right? Or different places where it says pop rising. This is the epiphany of pop rising because this is, we're seeing somebody who has an arc that can be quite high to me. With her sound.
Yeah, for indie, it's very approachable. There are some things that bordered on to pop, and there was actually like more uncomfortable moments with the album because I know her verse more of like this really like indie, like Wonder Kid kind of thing. But like it's really good. It's a genuinely good listen.
It's her voice is incredible because if you hear her talk in interviews, her speaking voice sounds completely different than her singing voice. You would not like contribute the two to each other, which is crazy to say.
It's fun.
And
like
it's
that.
Also, I love, and it shows you the power in her voice too. Also, I think she's like 19 or something.
Yeah,
like
she's very, very young very as well. Young. She's in this really cohort of like, you can see them like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. So Fever Dream is a single I talked about months ago and it is still fantastic. I really like it for a pop song in a way because it's the indie pop genre, which is very interesting because there isn't too many people doing the indie pop genre. They've gone more into indie grunge and stuff, and I've already ranted about that plenty of times.
Yeah.
And anyways, a lot of the indie pop people became way too poppy, and then they just, that genre, there's not too much there. This is somebody who she's like taken over that space and made it her own in a way. Fever Dream's fantastic with that. There used to be you, this might be the only song I didn't really like on the drop because I thought, it was the production of it. Anything is a little too choppy just for me, but I can appreciate it. I really like 1 and 2 Quiet Motions, 4 and 5. I really like those two tracks.
Song 5 is called 1, 2.
1, 2, exactly.
And then song 4 is called Quiet Motions. You threw a lot of numbers there.
Yeah, exactly.
And also one of the songs, it has numbers in the name.
Exactly.
There's that. But like, yeah, 1 and 2, I was going to mention, that's the one that was like scarily poppy. I only want
wanna be with you. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. My number one, I'll be yours too. Like, I only wanna be with you. My greatest fear was ending up all by myself.
Like, okay, it's indie, it's poppy, I see what you're doing there. I mean, like, she's totally allowed to take a pop turn. It's totally
exactly
fine.
But the main thing, it's only 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's very, very short for it. So it didn't do all of the cliche things in pop that we always rant about, we always talk about, because it didn't have time to do that. So it had the things, like the general construction of a pop song, but it was limited enough to where you just have the feeling of the song, the feeling of it in a little split. And it reminds me a lot of, like, if you go into 1930s, 1940s French music, where it's really, really short and quick. It reminded me of that, but in a modern version of that. And because all these songs, the longest song on here is 3:30. All of them are about the 2:30 to 3 minute mark.
Yeah.
And for that, it reminded me of that style of music, which you don't get to hear that often. So that's
it's
one
definitely
thing.
Happening more because the songs are getting shorter. We talk about, like, the economy of music.
Yeah, but it's
with, like, the
because
not the Weeknd, but the Vampire Weeknd.
Vampire Weeknd doing that. And it's, we can tell that with certain people when they're doing it as an art form or when they're doing it to cash in. Because you get that with some trap artists where they're doing that to literally just play the numbers and get more money out of it. And then you have other artists who are doing it because it's an art form. You even get that in rap too. Like, yeah. Some rap songs, you can say, with Earl Sweatshirt, he does it shorter, so that way he makes it a little bit different for it. And that's what you get with Dawn. You get that with her sound is a little bit shorter and it gets straight to the point, which is what I like about it. And then all the indie stuff and the sounds are great as well.
Yeah. back into songs.
Mm-hmm.
One to you, like, I liked Lessons, the third one.
Lessons?
I'm overthinking, my head gets stuck, my feet lose feeling, but the fear's not enough to stop us dreaming now. It ain't easier being first to know. There's no need to be so precious, you can let it go.
I think that's a good, like, perfect balance for people. Like, it's indie enough, it's true enough to the indie roots. It has some, like, pop flair and attention. And I don't know why, I think this very weird sort of, like, thing is coming out in the way I'm reviewing this. I'm noticing with myself in a meta kind of way where I don't want her to sound too poppy.
Like, no, I
feel,
do not.
Like, cringy about that.
I don't want, because she can be a lighter version of Lorde if she plays her hands the right way. Because that's the one thing with Lessons, in the middle of it, it sounded similar to Ribs, if you know that song from Lorde, in the construction of it, kind of almost the blending of pop and house, and then putting that into somebody who has a gorgeous voice in the middle of it. It had that style of it. And I'm like, that's one thing with her arc. I'm like, if she plays her cards the right way and has the right people around her and keeps true to herself, man, she'd be very, very good.
I hope,
exactly.
She's good as is.
Exactly.
And she's not the kind of person who's going to stay stagnant.
No.
I know that.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is a very good album. On my arbitrary scale, I'm going to give this Dr. Bronner's Heal Earth Soap.
Woke soap.
18-1 Castile.
Yeah, here we go. It says raise the minimum wage on the bottle. The wokest soap of them all.
They recently tweeted from their Twitter account, legalize medicinal psilocybin.
Oh my god. I love these people.
It's like 18,000 likes.
That's like Craiga woke. I don't even know if that's a song. Giga woke.
Peta woke.
Peta woke.
What about you?
This is Fabuloso, babe. This is that straight up. That's that Mexican shit. You know Fabuloso works. No matter what stench you got in
purple.
There, it's purple.
I like purple.
It gets in there and it just works wonders. Fabuloso is beautiful.
If you can't take the heat, shut down the kitchen is apparently the way Moby is going about his life, because he has this LA vegan restaurant called Little Pine in the wonderfully diverse and inexpensive neighborhood of Silver Lake. And that's a deep state LA joke.
It's, laugh with me.
That was sarcasm, New York Times. But basically, like most restaurants, they're adjusting their hours. Mm-hmm. Actually, they're really hit pretty hard by the whole, like, COVID-19 thing and people not being able to eat in their restaurants. So Moby said that he had to close his restaurant down, but he originally said that, like, when he first opened the restaurant, to like lackluster reviews because people mostly hated it. He vowed at the time that it was a charity initiative for him, and that 100% of the profits would go to various animal rights organizations. Mm-hmm. And he's a multimillionaire. He's pretty like well paid.
He's pretty loaded
in theory. But yeah, on March 15th, they closed the restaurant, and employees there have kind of been left out in the cold as far as like what was going on. There wasn't a lot of communication on like what happens with their sick days, what happens with their time off, on what happens with their jobs. They weren't open for takeout or anything like that. So,
which shoots themselves in the foot. So that's one thing I wanted to say real quick too, is if you have the funds available and stuff and you want to get food, go to your local restaurant and stuff because they need the support. So try not to go to big chains right now, because they're fine. They're going to be fine after this. It's going to be the local mom and pop shops that make the best Mexican food on earth. And you know that. So go there, get the takeout. Most places are doing takeout for now. So
yeah,
support them, but not Moby. Don't support him.
Yeah.
for reasons.
To go further, remember, Moby tried to touch Donald Trump with the tip of his penis at a party, apparently, and proudly recounted this in his book. Moby, the only man to sexually assault Donald Trump.
Deadass.
This is like prison diddling Harvey Weinstein. Anyways, Moby continued to be...
Rip.
Moby continued... he was proud on social media because his workers started saying, like, hey, you're being really silent on these things. You're not telling us what's going on. And then they were only told this week, nearly a month after the last day of service at the restaurant, that... basically, healthcare coverage for full-time employees would be canceled, and the restaurant's going to be put on indefinite hiatus, which in LA means it's canceled.
It means it's gone.
It's gone. Aggressive progressives returning from indefinite hiatus. So I'm not. No. So the people who are on there are saying like Moby's still posting photos of like my pets that he took without my permission to get clout online and talk about animal rights and caring about animal rights, but he doesn't really care about his employees enough to even make sure that their sick time is cashed out, they're taken care of. Like, maybe you do need to close the restaurant. It doesn't make sense for you financially. Like, it's totally understandable.
Which, fine, see, as a from a business perspective, but then you gotta do stuff for your employees.
So he said 100% of the profits were going to animal rights things, but he also says here that the place was on the verge of going bankrupt, which means there are probably no profits.
Yes.
Which means if this is just taking a loss, it wasn't giving any money to animal rights organizations, or maybe was doing it out of pocket. So he's just like not running a business well. I mean, like, you opened up a vegan restaurant in Silver Lake. Like, that's
you should be making bank off of that. Like, you know how many people want to be like, hey, let's go to a little vegan bistro.
Yeah, I mean, and stones and glass houses, I actually went to this restaurant about 2 weeks before they closed to try it. And it was like passable. There's one thing I did hate, which I'll say that usually restaurants are pretty clear what parts of their food have certain very popular allergens in them. And if you hypothetically have a peanut allergy, they don't tell you that a lot of their vegetarian made meat or fake meat has peanuts in it. Which is weird because usually it doesn't have peanuts in it. So you would at least want to tell people on the menu that that thing that most places don't usually do is a thing you do.
Why does their veggie meat have peanut? What the fuck?
I don't know how they made it. Apparently it's fine and nutty. I don't know because I don't want to die.
Exactly. it would be like if I had some zucchini thingy and it had a coconut in it. He didn't tell me, and just we were like, all right, bleh.
It's like, hey Sean, here's some fried coconut.
Here you go. It's like, no, it's fried peanuts with coconut on top.
Yeah. so there are a lot of workers who are just like upset. They're kind of sick of Moby's antics, especially with like the knob touch Donald Trump. There's also seriously the Natalie Portman thing where like writing about this relationship he didn't have with Natalie Portman, where like he was looking at it through rose-colored glasses, and like she was like, no, you were a creepy dude. But, and I was like, just out of high school, and you need to stop. So, not a good look for Moby here. He's releasing an album, because he releases one every single year. I don't feel like talking about it because I don't really care about them anyways. And we have other things to do anyways.
Yes, we do.
So, last review of the whenever time of day you're listening to this. Incubus's Trustfall Side B. It's an EP, as I said, by Incubus, 5 songs long, 19 minutes long. And
their first Trustfall
Side A.
Yeah, Trustfall Side A was released in 2015, maybe 2014, around that area. So it's been a few years. Yeah. And their last album was 8, which came out in 2017, I like to say.
Yeah.
And
I think we reviewed it.
We definitely reviewed it. There was some stuff I liked in it, and there's some stuff I didn't like in 8. So I was thinking, like, oh, I hope they don't go Uncle Rocky, because they're one of my favorite rock bands, if not my favorite rock, like bread and butter rock. They'd probably be my favorite out of anybody. And Trustfall Side B, I cannot say that right, because my brain doesn't think.
Take it slowly. don't two-time speed it.
Right. Don't Dan two-time speed everything you're saying. But this is some of their best work they've done in years. It is really, really, really good for an EP. All 5 songs, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, just top to bottom, I was like, holy shit. Because Karma Come Back, it's kind of cool the way it builds up. It takes a while to build up, but then the rock portion of the song, it sounds fresh. You've got to do better. This karma, karma, karma comes back. Yeah, you've got to do better. Before this karma, karma, karma comes back. Oh, it's the first rock I've heard in a while, and the Strokes did this a little bit too, but theirs was more of like blending times and stuff. Incubus was just like, you know what? No, we've been doing this for so long. We don't need to go back into anything. We can push. Exactly. We can push rock forward ourselves. And they did that. I'm like, wow, finally someone. Maybe Brandon Boyd and the boys listened to Audioface.
Maybe. Of course they do.
Of course. I mean, I'm down. I would love to sit down with Brandon Boyd and have a conversation. Let's go. Karma Comeback, fantastic song. Our Love, which is the single we reviewed a few months ago. Very, very, very good. It's on my playlist of 2020, one of my favorite songs.
To the playlist is in the show description. Yes,
exactly. Into the Summer came out in August of last year. And I thought when it came out, it was kind of weird and it's like in a standalone thing. But now in the Trustfall Side B in this little EP, it makes sense. And now I like the song. At first when it came out, I didn't really like it. On Without Me.
It's my favorite song on the album.
It's the Black Hearts and Inertia version of Incubus, which that album came out in 2009, and it is amazing. It has a lot of like previous works and stuff, whatnot. But anyways, you have that sound is really, really good.
And it's also this really deep kind of song about like,
yes,
moving on from love. Like
exactly. So that's why it threw me back into like The Dig, Love Hurts, Oil and Water, Incubus, which is some of their most fantastic work, because unlike what AWOL Nation does, you know, you have good lyrics and you have the substance of great musicality with it. And that's what makes it a really good song. And I'm like, oh, wow, they can still do it. They've been around forever, but they can still
drop it. They're still reinventing it.
Yeah.
It really shows you what we try to emphasize on this podcast over and over again. There are artists who get better and better with time, like a fine wine. And then there are artists who just like stay kind of stagnant and stagnant and flat, like a warm Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
But what really says is like going. With On Without
On
Me.
Without Me? The lyrics.
The lasting lyrics, I used to be a giver, now I only want to give up.
That's a bar.
That's a bar to the heart right there.
It
encapsulates like liking a relationship at first, but being over it like it's in one sentence. It's yes. pretty amazing.
And it's one of the things with Brandon Boyd's lyric. Brandon Boyd, the lead singer of it, he's just an artist. He's one of those people that like he in his spare time and stuff, he does a lot of finger painting styles and they end up being beautiful. Like, I don't even know how to explain his art, but if you go on his Instagram and watch it, he's just one of those people that's constantly creating things, making things that he likes to do. And that's one of the things that you can hear it into his lyrics. But I haven't heard lyrics like this since 2011, maybe, or something like that, almost a decade ago, because that was my problem with 8, was some of the substance in the lyrics of it was okay, but it wasn't enough to make me really like it. But this, oh my god, all the 5 songs on here are fantastic. Paper Cuts is the ending for the EP, is a little acoustic ballad, and it's very good as an ending track too, because you can still hear the lyrics in it. You can still feel like the sadness and stuff of different relationships and past things that have gone on. And yeah, just
Paper Cuts is the piano in the back right of it.
Right? Yeah, piano. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I knew you would like that one.
Yes, I really like that one a lot. So for again for an EP, like this is perfect as an EP as you can get, because every single song is amazing.
Hits, yes,
it hits the heart. It hits my musical soul, which I haven't had in a minute, and just man,
it can also, we don't really get this very often, so it's hard to say about a lot of projects, but every song has its own unique character and stands out on its own while also working together, which yes. is hard enough to do in an album that you have 45 minutes and 10 songs or 11 songs of real estate mm-hmm. to do. But it's way harder to do when you have 20 minutes and 5 songs.
Yeah, and it was one thing where when I got my new car, I forgot I had to switch all the radios and stuff.
Flex.
And it was super flex. And I was trying to like fill in the van. I'm like, you know what? I haven't listened to, obviously, other than Morning Becomes Eclectic, but I haven't listened to the normal radio in a minute. So I put on like K-Rock on Alt 98.7, which is
LA-based. Are you not on your serious satellite radio?
All right. I'm good with satellite radio. I don't do that. But anyways, so I'm
like, how else will you hear the Ben Shapiro show?
drive conservatively. shivers. But I put it on and they were playing stuff from this album. They played songs from it, and I go, wow, this brings me back to, you know, long drives with my dad in like 2008 when alternative rock was a thing and it was good. Incubus was kind of leading the way. Incubus, Muse, whoever you want to put in there. And I go, wow, this brings back, but it doesn't just bring me back. It moves forward too with it.
Because yeah, something that's new you can enjoy.
Exactly. It's a new enough sound to where you can get new fans of their work as well into this. It's not just for old heads like us. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I would recommend this.
Very impressed.
Arbitrary scale, because the world's not ready for Formula 410.
Formula
409.
Wow.
This is Formula 409.
This is...
the Robitussin of cleaning products.
Damn it, dude. I mean, like, I don't even, like, 409 is just, that's beautiful. I was gonna say I wanted to do 409. I mean, but it's cleaning products, so this
Comet.
Is... No, baby. This is Windex. This is pure, clean, wholesome Windex. This is what... If you ever watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding, when the guy is like, put some Windex on it, because he's like... So Windex fixes everything. So if you get a little boo-boo, you get like a little pimple, put Windex on it and it fixes everything. That's this EP.
It's Windex fixes anything as long as it's glass.
Right, exactly.
I'm not going to use Windex on my car interior, I tell you what.
I'll do it, see what happens.
Quick, see what happens. Expelled.
Negative points for Gryffindor.
So, quick hits. Travis Scott did a quote-unquote concert in Fortnite. There's two ways to look at this, which is one was a review in Polygon and one was a review in Rolling Stone. One was a review from someone who plays video games and one was a review from someone who doesn't. But
it was funny to see the two different reviews.
Together, I think they come together to point the whole thing. First of all, Travis Scott did a couple songs from Astroworld. He was animated into the video game. You were able to like join Fortnite at certain times, and they did it throughout this one weekend globally, so you could watch it in the Middle East or in Europe or Asia or whatever. And it wasn't really a concert. It was more like a 15-minute gathering experience thing. It was like something the map was doing in the background. And obviously it was pre-recorded, so it's not like live or anything. We can do live concerts now with people on Instagram Live, but Gorillaz have been trying to do live concerts with live animations forever and just like borderline impossible.
Yeah, they've been trying to do that since the dawn of them.
Yeah,
basically.
The closest they've been able to do is like sync up their live performances so close to the animations that it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and that's like their skill.
Like Demon Days when they were hiding behind the little
holograms.
And that, I mean, I remember watching that, I go, that, I don't know if they could ever pull that project off in that way because it's just, logistically, it's a nightmare. It's so hard to do. But Astro Boy did it.
Yeah, but like, it's not a concert. And then, and it's an interesting thing, but what the Rolling Stone article got at, which it was more of a marketing exercise than a concert.
Oh my God, it, from a marketing standpoint, genius. It's like, as much as, you know me, I hate Travis Scott music. I think it's extremely cliche and very, very, very overrated. You've already heard me review Astroworld, so you can listen to that, whatever.
And for the, and to be fair. I take a stronger thing towards Astroworld. I think Travis Scott is definitely one of the, like, more experimental trap artists.
I will give him that. I will definitely give him that.
He's like not as generic. So like we have different opinions, but like even Sean, you're saying it's marketing genius. Like this is some Baby Yoda shit.
This is definitely some Baby Yoda shit because you get so much audience from Fortnite because of how fucking popular of a game it is. You get to draw in all of the younger fans who haven't heard of your music at all.
Yeah.
And it just, I'm pretty sure he got a bump of just like, I don't even know. Let me see.
He did. Polygon, I believe, said that reported like a 35%.
Yeah, 35% increase in like his streams and stuff from people listening to him because of this. And I'm not surprised by that at all because I remember I was talking to this with We Made It Boys and friends when we were playing on FIFA yesterday. And he said, one of the guys was saying, oh, did you see that Travis Scott did the thing with Fortnite? He's like, Travis Scott's making it big now because he's hopping to Fortnite. You know how well it's going to do for him? I go, oh yeah, from a marketing standpoint, this is one way to for self-promotion that hasn't really been done too much yet. It was the video game, crossing the video game world within the music world. And that's an untapped market that you can get. Because Twitch is one thing I was thinking of before with musical artists. It's one way to, because of like, when we were talking about the virtual concerts and stuff that people have been doing, I was thinking, why don't they go onto Twitch or go onto different things? Because the community of this is very like chat box worthy and stuff. You can get that with Instagram Lives and stuff, but it's not nearly as powerful as like, say, Twitch or
Twitch
whoever.
Is better designed.
Exactly, because it's designed specifically for that.
What we're talking about is like the breaking what is just a parasocial interaction where you feel like you are talking to the person who is streaming.
And it's one thing that it's, when you have a community of that, you get to interact with different community members. I know Rooster Teeth was one of the very first things to do that, and that was, I was exposed to that being young, and it's very powerful because you get to meet people from across the country, across the world, and you get to create meaningful like friendships
connections
and even
their
connections
yeah.
because you are all have a common interest, and that's in that one commodity. You might have a completely different life or completely different standing, whatever it is. But you all came to watch that one thing. So from music standpoint, it's very smart to do because then you go into a market where people haven't listened to your music at all. Maybe they've never heard of you or never even listened to trap at all. And they go, oh, whoa, this is kind of cool. And this is a different little thing for them to get into, even though I wish it was somebody else who did it. But, you know, whatever.
Be careful, Sean. You could be talking yourself into Audio Face Pod going on Twitch.
I mean, I'd be down for Audio Face Pod going on Twitch because the comment you know how hard I would be laughing from the comment section stuff? Also, we would hella get banned from Twitch. we would last maybe 30 minutes.
There's now the Mujahideen standard. So there's a lot we can apparently do on Twitch.
Oh, wait, we could say the Brave Mujahideen on there?
We can't. Because that got us on banned. he lost no chalila.
He lost no chalila. Dan Crenshaw gets fucked in his eye out by the brave Mujahideen soldier, end quote. Oh my God, that's right.
And Jeff Bezos was like, and that's how you get run from my network.
Oh my God.
And we always like to end Audio Face in a fun note. Eminem has decided to donate food to Detroit hospitals. He worked with a local, like a mom and pop pasta company. And so they were able to actually get these cups of pasta delivered to the Detroit hospitals. And they had little labels on them that said, Mom Spaghetti.
Yes. So he literally donated Mom Spaghetti. So, you know,
Yeah.
So it's still a fun thing
to end it. And you know what? Like, Eminem's been a little interesting and annoying lately. This is a genuinely nice thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, out of all of the dumb things he's been doing, this is one thing I'm like, okay, you're actually doing something right for once. Good job, Eminem.
Yeah.
Stop being a fuckboy.
Of course, like, Mon Spaghetti, I don't need to explain that later if you're listening to this podcast at this point. But anyways, this has been Audio Face.
What does it mean to play us out?
We are going to have quite a month. Like we said, 3-year anniversary, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of the episodes. We're going to have at least 2 bonus episodes, probably a political report or 2. And God, next month, I'm just looking at what is most likely out of luck. We'll get the rest of the Moses Sumney project that we worked on.
Because
like a half drop that we reviewed before, like what I talked about before. Charlie XCX, her like quarantine project. Mosey's quarantine projects have been pretty bad, but Charlie XCX is all right. So we'll see how it goes. The 1975, maybe. The Killers, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right, because the Killers, they've been releasing singles and stuff we can't talk about because we don't care, but they should be releasing an album in May.
Yeah, so we will look out for that. You know where to find us. We're on Twitter at AudioFacePod and on Instagram at AudioFacePod and on YouTube.AudioFace.show. So check that out, and we will talk to you next week.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.